I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Roman Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out, romanoz.com.au.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, Lynn, well, first of all, we're going to start with Aidan Saggers. Now, Aidan Saggers has 7th Street Caravans in Heatherbrook.
That's correct.
But we're not at Heatherbrook. We're actually at the Caravan Show.
Yes.
And we're going to be chatting to Aidan about this fabulous range of caravans that he sells. And they're called Hurricanes.
Yes, they are.
And he's going to talk us through the various models.
Yep.
And then straight after that,
We're going to the mid-north coast of New South Wales, and we're going to be talking to Margaret at Pacific Palms Tiona Holiday Park.
Look, that's a fabulous place, Lynn.
Oh, yes. You've got the ocean on one side and you've got the lake on the other side. So you pick where you want to be, or else you just cross the road and you're on the lake or the ocean.
But the magnificent thing about this is it is so big.
Yes, it is.
And they've got the – do you know what their theme is? I'm trying to remember what their theme is. It's like pick your space.
Pick your space, yes. Yep. And there's also a little grove that's been made into a church. So you're out in the open and you can sit there looking at the lake – and go to a church service on a Sunday.
I know. That's a fabulous idea, isn't it?
It is.
And they've got this fabulous function centre whereby people can actually do weddings there if they want to. They can get married at this wonderful place. And the best thing about this is because they've got the reception centre there and they've got the cabins there.
Oh, and they've also got those Butte luxury tents.
Well, they've got the glamping, but I'm talking about the weddings and stuff. You don't have to go anywhere.
No, you don't.
So it's the complete package. You can go there. You can get married in that fabulous outdoor church.
Yep.
And then afterwards you can have your reception.
Yep.
And when you have too many tequilas,
you just crawl into bed.
That's it. And no worries about the police. You just fall into your bed and wake up to the sound of the birds or the ocean the next day. What more could
wonderful.
You want?
Yes.
All right. Now, straight after that, I'm going to be chatting with Jeff Diath.
Yes. This one's interesting.
It is indeed, Lynn. Jeff Diath, listeners, if you haven't tuned in before, he is the expert on all the caravanning weights, car weights, mobile home weights.
And all those extra things you take with you. That sometimes you never use.
That's the thing, you see. A lot of people, I'm guilty of this. I put my hand up. We take far too many things with us that we never, ever use. And this particular program, we chatted with him before about 5 things that make your caravan overweight. And those things were like, bicycles hanging off the back and generators and spare batteries. People buy an extra battery and throw it under the bed without thinking, and everything starts to get more and more heavy. Well, this one is all about the 5 things that make your
vehicle
overweight. So it's a similar subject, but we're talking about a totally different thing here, okay? So that's going to be a fascinating chat with Jeff Diath from Checkweight, who's now a regular on the show.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
So we'll get lots of information out of him.
Look, he's a wealth of information. Okay?
Yep, and to share with the listeners.
So as well as all of that, we also have a fabulous selection of music
as requested by the people we interview.
Lynn, I think we finally got that.
We did.
Right. So, Lynn, what do you think?
On with the show.
Oh, hello, listeners. My name is Phil C, and this is Roman Oz, and we are speaking today with Aidan Saggers from 7th Street in Heatherbrook. How are you, Aidan?
I'm very well, thanks, Phil. How are you?
Mate, I'm having a fantastic time, and it's always a pleasure to see you. We've chatted a few times.
Yes.
Now, I want to talk to you specifically today about this fabulous Hurricane range of caravans. Now, how long have you been dealing with these Hurricanes?
Hurricanes, we've been about 8 months now.
Okay.
They've been going for about 8 years.
Okay.
We're very fortunate that we've come across the product.
Okay.
And that they're available at 7th Street Caravans to virtually drive out the gate.
Okay.
Which is unheard of.
It's pretty unheard of in today's times, isn't it? Because with COVID, it's parts availability, labour, lack of labour to put
staff.
All these things together, staffing issues.
Yeah.
But with these Hurricanes, I guess the guy that manufactures these, he obviously saw where the industry was heading.
Yeah, he's a little bit a step ahead in his thinking.
Right.
Because when I went and visited the factories,
right,
he's got a couple of factories.
Okay.
He contracts a lot of his workers, so they all turn up.
Yep.
And he's got a lot of his equipment, like fridges and microwaves. He's got a factory warehouse full of them.
Okay.
So he sort of thought ahead, and he's got all the product there.
Okay.
So it sort of doesn't interrupt the flow of the manufacturing.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So on average, nowadays, to get a brand new caravan from order to delivery,
yeah,
with some manufacturers, can take anything up to a year.
Oh, even more.
Even more.
There's some booked out for 2 years. There's some for booked out for 18 months.
Okay.
I have heard stories of 3 years.
All right. Well, we're not going to go there because
yeah,
you're never going to sell a caravan.
No.
But the good thing about Hurricane, as you said, he saw where the industry was going with COVID and had the foresight to buy bulk stock.
Yeah,
And because these workers, as you said, they're contracted, so they come to work every day.
Yeah.
So with a Hurricane, from start to finish, a brand new one, what sort of times are we looking at?
Well, we sell, the Hurricanes we get, we sell as a stock item.
Okay.
So if you came into the yard and you really like that van, you know that's available to you.
Fabulous.
Yeah, okay. So you could be driving out within a couple of days in that van.
On a brand new van?
On a brand new van. We've had some turn up on that day and bought it and gone.
Okay.
So they are turning over very quickly once they hit the lot because of availability.
Okay.
Plus they are a good van themselves. Yeah. You know? So.
Well, I've had a look at the range and I've got to tell you, best bang for buck.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not as expensive as some of these other companies and manufacturers, but they've still got everything in them, haven't
they? They've got a lot of bells and whistles.
Absolutely.
Really good, yeah. It's a bit mind-blowing on just how much they've got in these vans.
Yep.
They've sort of hit the market and they know what people want, so they've catered for it. So, two solar, two batteries, grey water tanks.
Okay.
Pull-out steps, which, some don't give you water filters in their van.
Yeah.
Comes with a water filter. Just simple things, but then there's some real good technical stuff in there. Like their battery charger. I know you don't get lithium with the van.
Yes.
But it's a lithium-compatible charger. So,
when the time comes, ready.
Yeah. So when the time comes, down the track, lithium's going to get cheaper.
Absolutely.
Just swap it over.
Fabulous. So just give us a bit of an idea. Like, they start around about the 18-foot with a single axle. Is that correct?
Yeah. The off-road, they start around the 75 mark.
Okay.
That's fully off-road.
Yep.
You can get them in a non-off-road, like a semi-off-road, if you don't want the suspension, like the control rider.
Yep.
Just want like a leaf spring or a tall flex.
Yep.
They come in around, it's about $5,000 the difference between the two.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the actual size of the vans, like the smallest one, the Hurricane comes is an 18-foot single axle.
Yeah.
So that's right. Plenty good enough for a couple.
Oh, look, that's a very popular van.
Okay.
There's a lot of people downsizing at the moment.
Okay.
And they only want enough for the two of them.
Yeah.
And it's got everything in it, the full ensuite, the queen bed, big fridges.
Yep. And being a single axle, so they're a lot easier to park and back into sites, manoeuvrability. And I guess weight too, very important.
Yeah, weight-wise, it's a lot less.
You don't need a huge 200 series to pull them.
Yeah, you only need something around 3 ton,
So then getting into your tandem axles, they start around about the 20'6". Is that correct?
Tandem axles, 20'6".
20'6".
Yep.
And then you've got the fabulous family van, the 21'6".
And what a cracker of a layout that is.
I was going to say, the layout is absolutely sensational. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the family van?
Well, the family van, that's another one we can't get enough of.
Yep.
Double bunk or triple bunk,
we
charge the same price.
Right.
Availability is very good with them. We seem to always have them in stock and they go and we turn them over and then the next one's coming.
Yep.
The layout, there's two layouts, but the one we've been getting, people love the big long pantry next to the fridge.
Okay.
Plus the long L-shaped lounge.
Yes.
Queen bed, and then you got the whole ensuite down the back. Yeah, really good layout. Okay. One of the best I've seen.
Okay. Well, one of the best I've seen in your particular range, the one I'm the real big fan of, is the club lounge, the rear club.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, that's a beauty.
That is a
fabulous it's got
thing.
The step up back at the back, like a cutaway back.
Okay.
And then it's got that step floor with a club lounge with a light going through it.
Yes.
So it is a bit of a feature to that van.
Yep.
A bit unique. I haven't seen it anywhere else.
So. Yep.
And the van's just full of all the same features that we just mentioned.
Yep.
So it is a full off-road van.
Yes.
It's another one we sort of comes in and we've got a list of people waiting to put their name on the next one.
Absolutely. You know? So, I can understand why, because they are a sensational van.
Yeah.
And best bang for buck, I reckon.
Yeah.
Price to sell.
Yeah.
And the big feature is you don't have to wait 3 years to get
one.
You're not
waiting. And, I mean, at the moment we're getting like a list of people putting their names down.
Yeah.
Waiting for the next one to come up.
Okay.
You know, they might have a choice in colour when they're doing that, but they know they're going to get a van.
Yeah.
Right?
So. But if they wanted to order a specific
van... We can do that too. You wait a little bit longer.
Wait a little bit longer.
But you can get it.
But we're not talking 3 years.
No,
we're
talking probably 3 months.
Yeah.
Which is still, you know, worth doing. Yeah.
Oh, look, obviously... What's the name of the chap, the dealership, that, or not the dealership, the manufacturer?
It's Auslit Transport.
Okay, yep.
Company.
Yep.
And our brand with them is Hurricane RV.
Hurricane RV. And as we said right at the start, he had the foresight to get all the gear in.
Yeah, to get the gear in and have them available for these sort of times. Yeah,
and the smarts to have people that get paid when they come to work, not that take sickies all the time.
Yeah, well, that's a big factor.
Contractors,
where if they don't turn up, they don't get paid.
They don't get paid.
We've got to turn up.
So that's absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Mate, it's been great talking to you. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you, Aidan.
Yeah.
Now, before I wrap this up, an Aussie song or an Aussie band.
Oh,
you got a favourite?
Gee, how about LRB?
Yes.
A Long Way There.
A Long Way
it's
There.
A long way
it's
there.
A Long Way There by LRB. Fabulous song choice, Aidan. Listeners,
in the caravan too.
The caravan. It's a long way there. Yep. Not are we there yet, because it's not going to matter with all these comforts in the van.
That's
they're,
right.
They're not in a hurry. Aidan Saggers from 7th Street at Heatherbrook. Now, if they want to get in touch with you, what's your web address?
7thstreetcaravans.com.au.
Yep.
That's number 7, T-H.
Number 7,
Street.
T-H, yep. Fabulous. So just look up the website, folks. You've got a range of stuff for sale on the website.
Yeah, you'll see all the... We put all our stock on the website.
Yep.
In case it needs updating, like it's once a week, we try to do it.
Okay.
You can virtually see the vans online.
Okay.
And then you can give us a call if you really want that.
Really
van.
Want something, yeah. So there you go, listeners, and don't leave it too late. So you want to get out there and see Aidan Saggers at 7th Street and grab yourself
a knockout deal.
Thank you so much, Aidan.
No worries.
We'll be back with more Room and Oz listeners straight after LRB's It's a Long Way There.
Thank you. around? Is there anybody around?
Every night I walk around the city. Seems like I'll never know the feeling of being together when I go. It's a long way there.
Welcome back, listeners. Phil C here with Roaming Oz, and I am at Pacific Palms with Margaret. Now, she's the co-owner and general manager of Teona Holiday Park. How are you today?
Great, thanks, Phil. Thanks.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today. Now, tell us all about this magnificent Teona Holiday Park. We've had a walk around. It's huge. How large is it?
So the total land area that Tiona's on is actually 80 acres.
Okay.
Majority of that is bush. The developed area of the park is probably about 15 acres.
Okay.
Extends from the beach on one side to the lake on the other.
Uh-huh.
200 metres from water to water from one side of the park to the other, and surrounded by beautiful, pristine National Parks quality bush.
Absolutely magnificent. Now, how long have you been associated with Tiona?
We've had the park since December 2019.
Okay.
So we purchased it then. We've obviously in that time had bushfires, came in right in the middle of the bushfire season of 2019-2020.
Mm-hmm.
And we had COVID close the park on our 100th day of operation.
Wow, okay.
So it was a little bit of a trial by fire. And in that time, we've then obviously had COVID lockdowns. We've had floods. There was major floods which just about washed Port Macquarie and Taree away last March.
Right.
We've had further COVID lockdowns through May, June, July, August last year, which predominantly affected Sydney and Central Coast, Newcastle, Hunter Valley, which mm-hmm. is at where our main market comes from.
Yes.
But we've come out of it. We've just had a stunning January, December, a great summer where people could travel again and had that freedom to do so, which saw us bring up our two-year anniversary.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about it, Tiona. Now, what is I understand there's a big story that goes behind Tiona. The listeners, just give us a brief overview. What is Tiona?
Yeah, so Tiona Holiday Park, while we've only had it for 2 years, yep. the park itself has actually been around for 98 years.
Okay.
Previously, many, many years ago, going back to the early 1900s, a lot of the area around Tiona and the Pacific Palms was farmland.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a church by the name of Community of Christ that yes. purchased the land back in 1923.
Right.
Now, at that time, there was no roads. The only access was by water. They built a jetty to get supplies and their members of their congregation in. And they were attracted to the area by its raw beauty, its feeling of peace and the spirituality, the feeling that they got from it. And they named it Tiona, which is a South Tahitian word which translates loosely as Zion, which means place of paradise.
Okay. And it is. It is an absolute it is indeed. Place of paradise. And you also now, I've noticed you've got the Green Cathedral.
Yes.
Now, tell us a little bit about the Green Cathedral.
The Green Cathedral is pretty special. It's an internationally renowned open-air chapel.
Right.
So they use the palm trees, which are the natural palm trees here for the area, to create essentially what is a natural cathedral-style feeling.
Right.
They've got the wooden pews through it, and it's used for everything from weddings to baptisms to funerals and celebration of life.
Mm-hmm.
It brought up its 80th anniversary last year, so it's been there for 80 years.
Right.
And it's very popular. You talk to people in the local Foster Tuncurry Pacific Palms area and even beyond, and most people either have been married here or know someone that got married or had a funeral or a baptism here. So it's a bit of a local institution.
Absolutely.
And it's just an incredible place. We love that the locals and the community can use it. There's a service there every Sunday morning mm-hmm. with our local pastor, Wendy Ballard. And even the guests, though, they can wander down of an afternoon if they're just seeking a little bit of reflection or peace and quiet. It's a perfect space to go and do that.
Okay. Now, having said that, though, because I don't want the listeners to think this is a place where you come if you're into the church. This is for everybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's an absolutely magnificent setting. And one of the great things about it, it is pet friendly.
We sure are.
365 days of the year. Now, it's not pet tolerant. This is pet friendly. So tell us all about that, because you've got various styles and types of accommodation. And your pets are welcome anywhere.
100%. One of the commitments that we do make to our guests is that we are 100% pet friendly. So
right.
that's every site, every cabin, every day of the year.
Uh-huh.
We understand that the people that come to Tiona, they come for a holiday, they come for a relaxation and a getaway, quite often with their families. And our little four-legged furry friends are part of our families. They're at with us at home. We love them. We don't want to leave them at home when we go away.
Yep.
So we try to facilitate that and make it as easy as possible. So we have well over 8 or 9 different types of cabins.
Yes.
Pets are welcome in the cabins, so mm-hmm. they don't have to stay on the balcony. They are actually welcome in the cabins. Our housekeepers are extremely good at keeping on top of it, and we don't have any carpet or anything in the cabins. So we've never had an issue or a drama with it.
Okay.
We just ask people to follow general respect and etiquette of keeping their dogs on a lead, both for their own safety and everyone else's, and just enjoy the park and not not let the dogs, in the same way as children, not let the dogs or the children, affect other people's enjoyment of the park and of the area.
Now, speaking of the park, you've got some fantastic bushland to meander through.
Yes.
You've got a wonderful lake and a fabulous beach. Now, once the dogs get onto the lake area, the beach area, they no longer then need to be on a lead?
That's correct. So on one side of the park, we have 7 Mile Beach. Now, okay. Majority of 7 Mile Beach is national parks. The section immediately out the front of our park isn't. It's privately owned. We do obviously respect and try to work in with national parks and obviously respect their values in terms of protecting the wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
So we do allow dogs on the beach. We do, however, encourage people to head down to the lake where possible.
Yep.
Down on the lake, it's off lead as well, as long as the dogs are under effective control. The water is super, super clear. It's white sandy bottom and it's shallow, only about a foot or two deep for about 200 metres out.
It's fabulous.
So it's perfect for the dogs to run around and splash in. It would be unfair of them to be on a lead in that kind of environment. So as long as they're under effective control, we want them to have a good time. We
Absolutely.
Want them to splash around and explore and have a holiday as well.
Okay. So now tell us about some of your various styles of accommodation, because you've got camping sites. You've got your beach villas, your eco spa cabins, your treehouse camping. Tell us a few things. It's like you're catering for every single style of person wanting to holiday here.
Oh, look, we have a little bit of everything, and that's our whole ethos is find your space. There's
yes.
something there for everyone. So we've got cabins that range from 2-berth up to 6-berth.
Right.
So catering for everything from couples that just want something that's cheap and cheerful, quick, come in for a night or longer, right up to family villas for up to 6 people. We've got powered sites, so everything from if you've got a tent, a camper trailer, a caravan, we can accommodate quite large rigs. We've done a lot of redevelopment on the sites in the last couple of years in terms of making them more easy to access and to get vans on. We are obviously in a bush environment, so there's a lot of trees that we do need to work around and a lot of organic site boundaries.
Yes.
But we've worked on making that as easy as possible to get on. And we've introduced a lot of new cabin and new product over the last 18 months. So when we were hit by COVID the first time and we went into lockdown, we decided to accelerate our capital works program. So
okay.
we put in 8 new cabins, including one that's a very special one called The Nest. It's very popular with our wedding and honeymoon couples.
Yes.
It's squirreled away right down the back on the southern boundary and you don't even realise that you're in a caravan park when you're staying in it. And we also added 4 cabins over to our lakeside, beautiful big balconies overlooking the palm forest with views through to the lake. And we also put in 4 of our treehouse glamping tents.
Okay, tell us about those ones then.
Now, the glamping tents are perfect for couples. And normally when you think glamping or you think, you know, a glamping tent, you think, you know, it's going to be a cut above your standard tent, but it's still going to be basic.
Yes.
These are anything but. These are luxury on stilts.
Yes.
And they are on stilts. They're 3 metres above the ground.
I saw them, yes.
So when you're on the balcony of them, you can reach out and touch the trees and the canopies. And that was the whole idea of them, is to feel like you are living in amongst the treetops.
Okay.
Once you're inside, you've got a king-size bed, you've got air conditioning, you've got a full bathroom and a kitchenette, and you've got Netflix and chill. So it's absolute luxury. Very, very popular so far with our couples.
It's absolutely not really glamping, is it? I mean, it's more like a hotel room in amongst the trees by the sound of it.
It is. It is. We call them treehouse glamping.
Yes.
They are – glamping's obviously been very, very popular amongst
yes.
a lot of holiday parks. To our knowledge, they're one of the first that we've actually put up into a treehouse style.
Right.
And so it's just a little bit of that sense of adventure and romance and luxury and nature, like the combination of all 4.
Now, you mentioned before that you also cater for wedding parties and so on and so
yes.
forth. So you've got a reception area here for the weddings?
We do. We've got a purpose-built wedding and functions venue. It
right.
was built in the 70s. It caters for up to 200 people.
Okay.
We have a dedicated wedding and events manager and events team, fully licensed, full kitchen, commercial kitchen and everything. So all of the food and beverage and everything's catered for. You just need to coordinate with Kelly, turn up and have the wedding of your dreams. And a lot of couples do choose it because the ability to have their ceremony and their reception and have their all of their guests stay all in the one place makes it the perfect location. No one has to drive home after the reception. You can spend the weekend celebrating with your friends and family and you know, make a couple of days out of it, make it worthwhile.
Fabulous idea. So everything from a basic campsite to a wedding function.
Absolutely.
And find your space is your motto.
Yes, find your space is a motto that we came up with, and it just really takes into account the fact that we've got spaces for everyone. So whether you want a caravan and camp, whether you want to be in a cabin, whether you're wanting to connect with nature, connect with other people, reconnect with yourself, we aim to try and facilitate that and give you space to do that in. So we've got spaces to connect with family and friends. We've got spaces to have weddings. We've got spaces to go for bushwalks and explore the local area. It's really just facilitating that. And everything we do is around complementing the natural environment, not competing with it.
Fabulous. Now, before we wind this up, I should mention you're also a part of G'day Parks.
That's
is that correct?
Yeah.
So obviously anybody who's a member of the G'day Parks, they would receive the discounts on any of this style of accommodation?
Yes. So G'day Parks is one of the largest chains of parks with over 300 parks around Australia.
Mm-hmm.
They've got fabulous parks everywhere from the coast to inland. It's $50 to be a G'day Parks member.
Right.
But that's a two-year membership. It gets you a 10% cap discount at every single G'day Parks around Australia,
yep.
Including obviously us. And if you're not a G'day Parks member, when you come to stay, we can arrange that for you.
Fabulous. Absolutely. What can I say? We've covered it all. And what a place to stay. Margaret, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us.
More than welcome.
Absolutely brilliant. It's definitely on our bucket list. The next time we're passing through Pacific Palms, definitely we're going to want to stay. Before we wind this up, I'd like to play you a song. It has to be Australian. Who's your favourite Australian singer or band?
Look, given our location and yep. given the history of the area, it would have to be Horses by Darryl Braithwaite.
Okay.
He actually filmed the video clip for that down at our very own local Salido Beach in the Pacific Palms.
Really?
So, Horses by Darryl Braithwaite.
All right. Well, there you go, listeners. And a little bit more. If you come down here, you could actually be stepping on the beach where Darryl did the clip.
That's right.
Fantastic. All right, listeners, stick around for more of Roaming Oz. We're going to play that for you right now. Darryl Braithwaite's Horses. And we'll be back with more Roaming Oz straight after that. Thank you so much, Margaret.
Thank you.
Situation should keep us separated. You know the world won't fall apart, and you will free the beautiful bird that's caught inside your heart. Can't you hear her? She cries so loud, cast a wild note over water. Spirit fly, can't you see him? He's down.
7 Street Caravans have now moved to a brand new location. 11 Clayton Road, Heatherbrae is where you'll find them. Whether you're looking to sell, trade or upgrade, they'll look after you. Check out their range, Silver Valley, Hurricane, Paramount, Road Trip or their flagship Option RV. They won't be beaten on price, so get yourself a knockout deal today. They're open 6 days a week. Why not give them a call on 02-4987-5288 or check out their website, 7thstreetcaravans.com.au. Hello, listeners. This is Phil C, and this is, of course, the program Roman Oz, where we take you on location. And today, again, as promised from last week, this guy is such a gentleman and so knowledgeable. He's becoming quite the regular for us and will be for as long as I can keep him on the air. Jeff Dieth, how are you, my friend, from Checkweight?
I'm awesome, Phil. How are you today?
Mate, I'm doing great. Every time I call you, you tell me you're awesome, your business is booming. And I want to thank you, because I know you're a busy, busy guy, for taking so much out of your schedule to educate the travellers of this country with their caravans, motorhomes, and also just their vehicles in general. This week we're talking about five things that make your vehicle overweight. A lot of people may not even be aware of it. I know I wasn't when I first bought mine. I was very close to skating there on the maximum. So tell us about it, the five things that make your vehicle overweight.
Well, as I said before, Phil, yeah, we weigh vehicles and the caravan in combination. So yep. We weigh the vehicle hitched to the caravan and we weigh the caravan hitched to the vehicle.
Right.
And a lot of people are unaware, apart from your GVM that a few people are aware of, mm-hmm. there's also limits on your rear axle.
Right.
And that's where I see a lot of issues.
Right.
So if we use a dual cab for an example,
yep.
the back of the ute is where we put everything.
Yes.
So everything is on the rear axle.
Right.
And then you've got the caravan tow ball on the adding to the rear axle weight as well.
Right.
So everything we put in the back of a dual cab puts weight on that rear axle.
Uh-huh.
It's not shared.
Right.
So the five things, well, there's five main things. I mean, I see a lot of other things as well, but we'll talk just about these five biggies.
Yep.
And the first one is drawers. Anybody that's been weighed by Checkweight or myself will realise I'm not a massive fan of drawers.
Okay.
I think some people need them, but I think a lot of time they just give us extra storage to put more heavy stuff in.
Right.
And it's in the wrong place. And the drawers themselves can be quite substantial in weight.
Right.
A set of dual drawers with that slide out can be as much as 70 or 80 kilos. And that's a lot of weight. I mean, that's a person.
Yes.
You're adding this weight to just give yourself more storage.
Yeah.
And it's all over the rear axle and it's all adding weight to the vehicle, so therefore
right.
it's taking out of your payload.
Yep.
If you then have drawers and then you decide to take a fridge, then you need to put a fridge slide on the drawers to be able to get in access to the fridge.
Yep.
So that, again, adds more weight.
Yep.
If you have to have a drawer, then maybe consider just having one. And if you do have drawers, get the lightest ones you can.
Yeah.
There's some cheap ones out there that are very, very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So get the best quality that you can that's light.
Yep.
So when you're doing your shopping, how many kilos do they weigh?
Yeah.
Should be on paramount before you buy drawers.
Okay. Okay, and I think I'm guilty of this too, you know, because I've got a set of drawers in the back of my car or cruiser, and on top of the drawers, well, the fridge slide came with the particular drawers that I bought. So in the back of my vehicle, I've got a set of drawers, which I carry far too much junk in, I admit. And on top of that, I've got a large 85-litre Waco fridge. So I'm thinking, bigger is best, but is it really? Because most caravans come with 90-litre fridges. How much fridge space do you need?
And well, that's number two.
Yep.
Is fridges and fridge slides.
Yep.
A fridge that's empty can weigh around 30 or 40 kilos.
Yep.
Just empty.
Yes.
They're designed to be able to keep things cold.
Yep.
And that's the way they are. And then just purely because of access, we put them right at the back, which again then adds more weight to your rear axle through leverage.
Yes.
So, I'm a big fan of the old Esky. I know a lot of people think a fridge is a must, but an Esky on the back seat would save you a hell of a lot of weight on your rear axle. And I think I've said before, though, I talk about weight, not convenience.
Yes.
And, you know, if you're going really remote, then you might need that fridge.
Yep.
But also, consider, and out of the 500-odd ways that I've done now, I've only seen it twice where people have put the fridge on the back seat of the dual cab. And so we'll build a little frame. Because that's now sharing the weight between your rear and your front axle.
Okay.
And not only that, the cab is air conditioned, so your fridge is not going to work as hard.
I just wonder if they did that for convenience to themselves, or if they really thought that out. Because by having the fridge on the back seat, that means, wife can reach around and grab out a cold drink while you're driving. You don't even need to stop. Whereas with mine, having had the GVM upgrade, my partner can't even get into the back of the vehicle to get to the fridge. There's a little stepladder. Even though it slides out, she still can't. She's not tall enough to lift the fridge up and see what's in it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And what I'm finding, and I've seen a few in the last few months, actually, is people with dual cabs, but the tray, so they build a canopy.
Yes.
They're putting little 12-volt upright fridges
in. Yes.
And one of the gentlemen that I weighed, he said the access is much quicker.
Yes.
So you open the door, you get your drink out, you close the door.
Yes.
Whereas the lift up fridge, you're actually digging around for what you need.
Absolutely.
So the fridge actually works harder.
Yes.
And with those upright fridges, they're right up the front near the cab.
Yep.
So the weight's not overhanging.
Okay.
So if you've got a tray back and building a canopy, that's another option.
Okay.
And I'm seeing a few more of those, and generally it's people thinking about not only convenience, but they're thinking about the weight.
Okay. Yeah. So that was pitfall number two, was it? We were talking about fridges and slides?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So number three, what is the third one?
Again, it's batteries. And one of the things that I find is, you've built the drawers and you put the fridge slide and you've got the big fridge, so now we need an extra battery to power the fridge because the car battery won't power it.
Mm-hmm.
So we put another 32 kilo battery in to power the fridge to keep the six pack cold.
Yes.
So it's just more weight. Yep. And what I find mostly, especially in dual cab utes with the canopy, the canopy, is they put it all on the left, so it unbalances the vehicle. You've got the fridge slide, and the battery. So you're getting vehicles that are heavy on the left. And so with a tray back, you can probably put the fridge on one side, the battery on the other, and balance it a little bit more.
Yep.
I should point out that balancing a vehicle or a caravan is actually not a legal requirement.
Okay.
But the better balanced your vehicle and your caravan, the less likely you are to have an issue.
Okay.
And the easier it will be to recover if you have an emergency situation under brakes or something.
Okay.
If the caravan are balanced.
Fabulous.
You drive down the road and you watch some of these four-wheel drives that overtake you, and you can see that they're leaning to the patches on the side because they've got too much weight on the side.
So then what about, I feel as if I'm being picked on here, but it's good that you're telling me all these things because
No, I was going to say you're with 97% of the people out there, so don't worry.
Well,
I'm not picking on you.
No, I know. I was going to say because the thing is, I've got my dual battery that operates the fridge is under the hood of the car.
Good play.
It's under the hood, so I've got that side of it covered. But my fridge sits on a slide, which is on the left-hand side. I mean, be lovely if they had a slide right in the centre, wouldn't it? And you slide it out of the centre of the vehicle rather than on one side, either left or right.
It probably wouldn't be as convenient, though.
No.
And if you think about the convenience, you put it on the left, because if you're on the side of the road, yes, you're going to get in from the left.
Of course.
So not many people put it on the driver's side.
Okay.
But, yeah, we've just got to be conscious we're putting all this weight on one side.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the thing is, though, again, I'll ask you the question of airbags. So you've got the weight on the left-hand side, and I've got airbags on my vehicle. So why would I not just pump that left-hand side up a few more PSI? Again,
because
is that just
the airbags,
go on.
Yeah, well, the airbags aren't changing the weight. They will change the height, basically, if you look at, you know, say, from the height of the guard above the tyre.
Yep.
So it's going to look level,
yep,
but the weight hasn't changed. I mean, it may move a few kilos,
yep,
but you're not moving the weight. You're just changing
changing the angle
of the body.
Yeah. The guys that put them in for me, the airbags were put in by Petters, who did the GVM upgrade. And he said, oh, you got your fridge on your left-hand side. You put an extra few PSI in there to compensate for the fridge. But he didn't say anything to me about, oh, well, you know, that's awesome. Still, you're going to have that weight there. He just said, just put a few extra PSI in there and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, I had a guy at the Caravan Expo back in February in Newcastle say to me that he runs different tire pressures on one side of his vehicle to the other.
Okay.
Because to get it level.
That's
interesting. And I said, wouldn't it be better to move the weight?
Absolutely.
And it was sort of a blinding flash of the obvious to him that, yeah, moving weight is probably the easiest most economical way to do things.
I couldn't imagine putting extra weight in my tires. That sounds a bit, I'm a bit green.
No, I mean he's getting it level by changing the tire pressures.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Number four.
Number four, it's not a biggie. It's just awnings. And then they might be only 10, 15, 20 kilos.
Yep.
But we always seem to put them on the passenger side.
Yes.
Because that, again, it's a convenience factor and that's where you're going to sit.
Yep.
And, you know, look out at the beach or the river or wherever you're camping.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a biggie. It's just another thing we're putting on the passenger side.
Okay.
That we don't necessarily, I mean, you do get the occasional vehicle with them on the driver's side as well,
yep,
but 90% would only have one on the passenger side.
Okay.
So not a biggie, just be aware that you're just adding this weight again on the passenger side.
So I want to point out, listeners, Jeff has not actually seen my vehicle at this stage, but yes, I do have an awning on the left-hand side of my vehicle.
Phil, I probably could have guessed that because 90% of vehicles that I weigh have awnings on the side.
Okay.
Not so much, the smaller SUVs, that are towing a small van, but pretty well every dual cab or Land Cruiser that I weigh, I would say 90% of them have an awning.
An awning on the left. All right, so we're up to the last one, number five. What's the last one you see?
This will be a bit controversial for some people, and it really depends on where you're going, but tools, or I say too many tools.
Yep.
And I'll say this from the fact that I've weighed a few mechanics, and mechanics tend to take tools in case somebody else breaks down.
Yep.
And, you know, there is a certain amount of recovery gear and tools that you must take.
Yep.
But tools are quite heavy. You know, so if you've got three socket sets and, you know, 15 different adjustable wrenches or something, go through and see what you really, really do need. And there's, you know, things like, you know, you need your air compressor to be able to change your tire pressure. So that's a given. You need your recovery tracks and things like that. But just be aware where you're putting it. If you can get it forward of the rear axle, that's a big plus.
Yep.
And what I find is, and, you know, it goes back to number one, which is the drawers. You know, when I'm weighing a vehicle, we go around the caravan, we'll go through the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And when you pull the drawers out, all the heavy tools are right at the back.
Yep.
Which, you know, through leverage, puts more weight on your rear axle.
Yes.
So slide them right up the front.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if you've got the drawers to be able to get access, use them. Yeah.
Yep.
So lots and lots of heavy tools. They add up really quickly and can be, you know, 30 or 40 kilos extra that you take.
And again, I'm guilty of that. I'm not a mechanic. I do have a friend of mine who is a mechanic. And, you know, we quite often travel together. And he had a look at my drawers, which are
you know, I meticulously pack everything in there so that everything, you can't get anything else in them. And he says, what do you want all this stuff for? He goes, you don't even know how to use half of it. And I'm guilty of saying, yeah, but if somebody breaks down and they need something, I've got it there for them. And I virtually am. I'm carrying all this stuff around on the off chance that somebody may break down. And I can help them with a tool that I physically don't know how to operate myself.
What I would say that, Phil, is that everybody else can leave their tools behind.
Yeah.
Because if you break down, Phil's there to help you.
As long as I happen to be on the same side of the road with my awning out and my fridge and a cold beer and all the other gear that I carry. Mate, it's been fabulous. Go on.
I was just going to say, if you're travelling in groups, what I found is that people are starting to communicate a bit better.
Yeah.
And, you know, you take some tools.
Yes.
The other guy takes some tools. Yeah. The other couple take some tools.
Yes.
Or, you know, fire pits, things like that. You don't need to all take a fire pit.
No, you don't.
So if you're going in a small group of two or three, actually communicate and reduce as a team what you need to take. Yeah.
Jeff, you're teaching me so much because even a fire pit I take, and my partner says to me, why are you taking a fire pit? Stu's got a fire pit because he's the mechanic that travels with us. And I say, well, you know, he may decide he wants to go somewhere else for a week and we catch up and I don't have a fire pit. And she said, darling, you can do without a fire pit for a week. We're on the road for a month. So you're absolutely right. It sometimes it comes down to just common sense, doesn't it, really? You don't need it, don't take it.
I think, it's probably, I wouldn't call it common sense. I think it's just thinking outside the square.
More than
common sense.
Yeah.
And if you haven't got a fire pit, then what a great opportunity to go across and meet somebody else and sit at their fire.
Mate, I love your thinking. I love your way of thinking, Jeff. We're going to have to wind this up, my friend. I'm going to ask you about an Aussie song. Now, you are going to be with us next week. Have you got any idea what you'd like to talk about next week? Or should we keep them in suspense?
Let's keep them in suspense. We'll see what comes up during the week.
Okay, fabulous.
Or if somebody's got a suggestion, maybe that they want to
absolutely good idea
to talk about.
Idea, absolutely. Listeners. If there's anything you do want to ask Jeff in relation to weight, because he's the weight conscious man, send us an email. Send it to info@romanoz.com.au, and we'll put the question to Jeff. So there you go. Info@romanoz.com.au. And if I get any questions, Jeff, I will send them on to you, my friend.
Terrific. Thanks very much, Phil.
No, it's my pleasure, and thank you so much for your time. Before I let you go, what's your Aussie song for this week?
Oh, well, why don't we go out with our national anthem, Down Under by Men at Work.
Okay, fabulous track, and he plays fabulous music to our man, Jeff Diath, folks, from Check Weight. We'll be back with more Roman Oz straight after Down Under by Men at Work.
A fighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? A women go and men blunder. Can't you hear the thunder? Buying bread from a man in Brussels. He was 6'4" and full of muscle. I said, do you speak my language? He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. And he said, I come from a land down under, where Peter's flow and men chunder. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover. Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page, Spotify, or romanoz.com.au.
Tune in next week for more
Roman Oz.